Get involved, To you in a minute, man. I got a lot going on. We got our youth over at the St. Paul's Family Life Center getting some wise words from Eric Armstead and Ahmad Armstead. And we're asking God to really touch our youth in these last days that we're living. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show. You can call me at 347-205-9722. That's 347-205-9722. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio.
A bass drum, 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 drum. This is coming out. Ooh, I've been touched by an angel. And oh, you're what heaven is made of. I can't see you wings or a halo. Save my life, so you gotta be a miracle. Oh, I've been touched by an angel. When I'm looking into your eyes, forget about my
over my rock. Wanna climb to the highest mountain top and profess my love for you. We'll never die. Oh. Scream it out at the top of my lungs, 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 lungs. Tell the world that I found the one, one, one. Oh, my baby's hotter than the golden sun, 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 sun. You make my heart beat like a bass drum. Listen to me now.
Uncle Charlie, Touched by an Angel, right here on the Wise Words with One Young Show. Hey, we're talking about our youth and the legalization of marijuana. Okay, so I'm going to start things off. So I'm kind of like tired of going to any kind of store and our youth attacking me for $0.50 to $1, trying to get a blunt. Trying to get me to buy him a blunt, and it's only going to get worse because now it's going to be legalized for recreational use. And so those that we already losing are really going to be lost, and then we're going to introduce some new ones to this drug. Now, me, I've smoked the marijuana, and I'm going to tell you, it did me wrong. It did me wrong, man. You know, it got me hooked on it, see. It got me hooked on it because it's a gateway drug. Got me hooked on it. I liked the feeling. And so it make you don't want to do nothing. It calms you down. See, I was a hyper kind of young man. So it kind of like calmed me down, you know. And I kind of needed that. It was a good medicine, but then I got hooked on it, you know. I didn't do like these youngsters did. I don't go ask for 50 cent when I was young. Because when I was young, you couldn't smoke it. You can barely smoke a cigarette when I was young, man. They'd beat your butt. You know what I mean? But these kids, man, they smoking with their parents and kicking back. I don't say that's wrong with you smoking with your parents, because I'd rather for you to smoke with your parents than one of these fools out in the street. Them is just wise words for one gun. So it's going to be some pros and some cons tonight. We're talking about legalization of marijuana and the effects it will have on our youth. Give me a call at 347-205-9722. That's 347-205-9722. It's the Wise Words with One Gun Show, where we're trying to talk our youth out of getting high. Let's get back to some of this music, huh? Here's Riri. Miss Aretha Franklin. with Rocksteady right here on the Wise Words with One Gone Show. What's up, my people? Yeah, tonight we're talking about a legalization of marijuana and the effect it'll have on our children. You know what? I got my big bro back in the building. Guess who I got next? Mr. Kevin Carter. What's up, kid?
Oh, man, same old, same old. Bobbing, sticking, and weaving and moving. When they knock you down, get back up. Keep your feet moving. Stay on the good foot. That's what I'm doing out here today. Just trying to stay in a positive. I know you want to have this conversation tonight about the legalization of marijuana. Tell folks that they haven't got to the point of trying it for the first time. I got a word for you. Don't smoke it unless you know what you're getting into, because it could lead to some serious issues. So if your mind is already right, keep it right. So I know a lot of people out there that, you know, tell you it's cool and you know, it's one of the things to do when you want to chill and mellow out. But sometimes a free mind just keeps you where you need to be. So I just wanted to put that out there. Sometimes it ain't the marijuana, it's the mind itself and what you're thinking. But as far as the legalization of it, you know, we have to see how this works out. I can say me, myself, I'm one that's under the medicinal marijuana laws. And that's basically how I use it. I have marijuana here right now, but I haven't smoked any or used any of the other products to go with it probably in the last 2 weeks, because I didn't need it. That's one of the things about when you use it for medicinal purposes. You know what I'm saying? You use it at the right time, just like you use any other medicine. You don't abuse it. You use it for the right reasons. And I want to say that to some of the recreational smokers out there. You know, watch what you do and watch what you're getting into, because it's another addicting habit, you know what I'm saying, that you will pick up, and it's going to cost you, you know, when you do it. You'll be one of those out that be asking 50 cents for a blunt, you know, because you ain't got enough money. You ain't got no rolling papers, you know. You'll sacrifice food, you know, to get that marijuana. You'll sacrifice your gas money. Remember, gasoline done went up, you know, 12 cents a gallon, and so is your registration and the cost of living. And for some of you out there that have good jobs, don't get caught up, because we have a president today. And inside the state and federal government and around it, they're waiting for you to do it. What you think Jeff Sessions is waiting on? He wants you to go out, especially minorities, to pick up this this recreational marijuana. And then they can change the laws when it comes to jobs. You know, right now you there's a few laws out there to where you have to be drug tested, you know, before you get the job. But remember, right now, some of you that have a job, you may go through a recertification of drug testing, and that could cost you your job. Some of you people out there can be making $50,000 to $100,000 a year and get caught up with using recreation marijuana and lose your job. Remember, there's a lot to go with this. You know, anytime the federal government, even though the people have voted on this, but anytime these things get around the federal government, remember, they always have something up their sleeves to where they want to, you know, contradict and set you up, you know what I'm saying, because those lead to ultimate fines and taking away things from people, you know what I'm saying, that are in good positions. So I know a lot of people out there that think, you know, recreational marijuana is a cool thing that's getting ready to happen. But you know what? Recreational marijuana is already happening before the day comes. There's people out there that have been smoking recreation for a long time, but they know how to use it. But this is to the new folks out there that don't know how. This is for the new folks out there, the families and mothers and fathers that never experienced with it. And then you want to take that chance and experience with it. But if you got kids, I just advise you to leave it alone, because it'll reflect, they end up coming to you, but it ended up in your household. And then if it gets up in your household, just like pharmaceutical drugs get up in the medication cabinets, just as well as marijuana can now is in your house and can mess around and affect you and your kids. You know what I'm saying? And you wonder why your kids drop, you know, not going to school and acting up and, you know, not doing the stuff that they're supposed to be doing, and this life is becoming unmanageable. It's a lot of repercussions to this. So I don't want people to just get happy about it. I'm just being honest with you. I want you to know the truth, you know, about what goes on with this drug, you know, if it's not this herb, you know, and if it's not used right, if it's not done right, you know, and one of the things that I could say that I'm an addict. I come from addiction. I come from rock cocaine. I come from alcohol. I've done all of that. I've done all of that. But it's the wisdom to know the difference. When God brings you out of things, that you have to know the difference in what you do is when you use these things. I mean, before I even took medicinal marijuana, I had to talk to God about it, and you know, and have Him to give me the wisdom and knowledge on my purpose for using that. And that's why I have this patience about using it today. You know, even right now, I'm totally clear-minded. And like I said, I got marijuana sitting up here right now. But I don't smoke it. I don't, because I don't need it now. I don't need it. If you don't need it, if you just want it, then that's a whole different thing. But if you need it, that's a different process too. When I need it, I need it. But when I don't need it, I don't need it. And that's what you have to understand between those that medically use it and between those that are recreational users. Users, recreational users become abusers of it. And that's what I don't want for those out there today. I don't want that to happen to you. I'm saying this out of love, you know, and one that has the experience with it. It's you know, I've had some bad things that happen, you know, to me behind marijuana too, you know, being forgetful, being unresponsible, you know what I'm saying, unclean. It takes your mind, you know, to a whole different place, to where constantly you're not paying attention to what you're actually doing. Your mind is going through an illusion of something that you think that you're doing, but you're not doing. Because at the end of the day, after you do it and you wake up, you're still in the same position and in the same condition. So be aware and pay attention to you know, when you go to use this this new recreational drug, and why they're utilizing to put it out there. I know the people, like I said, I know, you know, the people voted on it, you know, and we won the vote. But the thing is, now that we won the vote, how are we going to use the vote, you know what I'm saying, to move forward? Are we going to get caught up in it? You know what I'm saying? You got to remember, these are some of the things that the government did to our people a long time ago with heroin and other drugs, you know what I'm saying, to dismantle us, you know what I'm saying? So be careful, especially the youth out there. You really be careful, because you really don't know what you're getting into. You know, it may seem like fun, but at the end of the day, there ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And if you don't know what that means, if that means that you'll be stuck in a rut and put in a hole behind marijuana, it'll be people out there, even though it'd be recreational, that they can't afford it, and they'll see you with it, and they'll be jacking you for it because they know you got it. That's where I see the dangers of recreational marijuana. They say, well, it'll cut down on crime. Well, it'll cut down on crime for the haves, but not for the have-nots. people that can't afford it. You go to the store, and you have people standing out in front of the store and asking you for change so they can get a blunt. Asking you for change so they can, you know, get some papers. You gotta pay attention to all this stuff that comes behind it. Watching your house because you got marijuana. Now they want to come in and jack you, a home invasion, because marijuana is legal. Look at the ramifications that come with it, the laws. Pay attention to the laws, especially those out there that have money and just think that you can go out here and get some pounds and sell marijuana. Those laws are still the same. They're not going to allow you to sell it. They're going to still use these stores that they have that's selling it now, the same places that I go to today. Those are going to be the distribution centers. They're not going to be from your house. They're not going to be from your cars, not in the park where you can do it freely. Not going to be one of them parties. So I'm saying this so that especially the youth out there to pay attention. Now, this is another way for mass incarceration to be set up by the police. To see you out there selling marijuana, and the first thing they're going to say, yeah, it's for the use, but it's not for the sale. It's for the use, not for the sale. And then how much you have on you. And if they see you out there selling it, how are you going to get caught up? I'm just saying all these things out of love because I watched my folks from the 60s as a young child, how they were set up. That's why I'm a revolutionary activist now today. Because I pay attention to these things, and I want you guys to pay attention. I say all these things out of love. You know, I say them out of love. If it's not for you, then don't do it. You know, don't hit it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know what comes with it. That's about the joint. Don't hit the joint if you don't know what comes with the joint. And it's another thing out there. If you don't know what's in the joint, then you better not smoke the joint. That's another avenue where people will be out there hustling and telling you that it's weed, but they'll be selling you something else. You have to pay attention. This got marijuana got a lot of history behind it. A lot of history of good and bad. But I just want all my people to stay sharp out there. Pay attention. I tell you guys out of just passionately out of love. I can't tell you what to do. But I can at least explain to you some of the things and the ramifications and the awarenesses that come with it, especially as one that uses marijuana. But I use it in a very respectful way. I respect that marijuana. I respect it. Just like I respect any other medicine. I respect it. I don't abuse it. I don't abuse it. I use it for my needs, not for my wants. And that's what I want everybody, you know, that's going to make that decision, you know, when January 1st comes, you know, to make sure that you consciously are paying attention to what comes with this, you know, at the end of the day. You know, we have enough going on, you know, with ourselves, you know, saying, and in this society that's already in chaos. So let's not let this become, you know, something that puts us in another state of mind of chaos. So I just wanted to just come on and just say a little bit in that manner about it, you know, and not, you know, discourage anybody, but just to let you know what's happening, because I'm an advocate, you know, more than anything, and it's not, you know, just for anything. I'm an advocate for the things that right now that we need to be in line fighting for and not get caught up and led astray, you know, from our responsibilities, especially when it comes to the opportunities that must exist, you know, in our communities. We're being displaced when it comes to jobs. We're being displaced when it comes to opportunities of going to college. We're being displaced. You know what I'm saying? Well, when it comes to living in communities, you know what I'm saying? We're being displaced to homelessness. There's a lot of things that are going on right now that people aren't paying attention to. The rents are going up, skyrocketing. There's no control. And this is how people are being displaced out of their communities right now. So we can't afford to be in an illusion while this stuff is going on around us. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things that we really have to pay attention to. And not from Sacramento to all over the rest of the country, it's happening, the displacement. And more people are going into homelessness. It's a crisis because there's no rent control. There's nobody out to represent the have-nots. And if you don't think that you are one of the have-nots, just look at it this way. If you live in the pay from paycheck to paycheck, you're one of the have-nots. You have a little bit, but you're still one of the have-nots. So I just wanted this, you know, to put that out there because I'm ahead of the Poor People's Campaign, one of the things that was left in legacy from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and that was the Poor People's Campaign was also the working poor, more than those that were dirt poor. But but it goes along with all the pores, has no boundary. You know, it's just like a bullet. It has no eyes and knows no names. It only knows the conscience of the user who points and pulls the trigger to it. And that's the same thing as with poverty. When capitalism pulls the trigger, you know what I'm saying, it does not hold any hostages. Capitalism only consumes. It does not give back. It takes. And that's what we have to understand, that where we're living at today in the type of society where you see the tech world is building up around us and in our communities and bringing in these different people of color, and they're bringing in businesses and coming in our communities and not identifying us. They don't, as if there's a code out and they don't see us. They don't see our struggle. They only see what they come there to build because they're not looking for us to be there in the future. And that was the whole plan, not to have us there in the future. But we have to recognize these things and take a stand. And not just black folks. This is going to happen to all people that are in the have-nots. And that comes in every different size, shape, and color. Doesn't matter. And one of the people that I'm fighting and with this issue with is the Reverend Edward Pinckney, who's just been released from the prison in Michigan. And Ray, if you don't know who Reverend Edward Pinckney is, he was a pastor in Benton Harbor, Michigan, who stood up in this community and fought against Whirlpool. You know who Whirlpool is, who builds all of the wash machines and all these different products, and he challenged them because they wanted to come in and put a golf course in the community when it was a community that was struggling, and they didn't want to invest any other money into the community because it was people of color there. But he challenged the mayor and the city council member and started a petition to have them repeal. And while he was doing that, they played a game on him and came back and said that he had got some forged signatures, and they took him to court. And this is something you'll never hear in your whole entire life. This is a man who's never been to jail, never been arrested. He is a full-blown pastor, minister. And when they took him to court on it, he faced an all-white jury and a white judge, and they found him guilty. And he served over 300 days in prison, not in jail, not in a correctional center, but in a full prison. In the prisons they kept moving him around to, and they put him on the worst floors. They put him on the floors where the skinheads and the Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan, the white racism, they put him on the high level of prisons. That's in his cell. That's where they put him. But no harm came to him because they found out that he was a minister, and he was able to talk to those men that was in there hating, and he told them what his situation was, and what it what happened was it turned on the prison system, and the people that was doing that to him, it turned on them because they ended up protecting them. And so every time they moved them to another prison, they would send word that the Reverend Edward Pinckney was coming. He was a black man. Make sure no harm came to him. So every prison that they put him in during the time that he had to serve, then no harm came to him. They wanted him to be dead. But Reverend Edward Pinckney survived, and he survived through the grace of God. And now he's out fighting the good fight for all of us. And he'll be here in the state of California in January to come here and tell his story. But during the time that he was locked up, I followed him, you know, while he was locked up, and supported him, because he was like a Nelson Mandela. He's a, you know, he was a political prisoner. And see, and today we don't understand what a political prisoner is. And that was one of our political prisoners. But we weren't paying attention to him, but he was paying attention to us. So he got something to tell us, you know, after doing his time. He has a message for all of us, and he's going to come through the state of California and tell that story. And it's one of the things that we talk about today when he talk about the state of marijuana and these new traps that they're going to be setting up around, you know, the state of marijuana. It's to cause an illusion so that they can take back the laws and the rights that we have. And those things are slowly slipping away from us today. The laws and the rights that we have, all the things that those that came before us fought for, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, and the freedom fighters, all of their work, we have to protect that. Those are our rights. Those are what gives us the rights of passage so that we can move forward on. We don't need new rights. We need to hold on to the rights that we already have. And those are the ones that they're trying to take away. And as you see these football players out here taking the knee, and they tell you that it's a disrespect to the soldier and the flag. It's not a disrespect to the soldier and the flag. Because when you take a knee, you're kneeling for God. And we're supposed to be one nation under God. And if we can't take a knee for God, who can we take a knee for? So don't let them tell you that it's a disrespect to the soldier. It's a disrespect to the soldier is when we go to war and fight for this country and we can't be recognized in this country, you know, for the services and that our fathers and folks gave. That's a disrespect. It's respect. It's a disrespect when they play a song called the Star Spangled Banner, you know what I'm saying? And it was a song that was written, you know, behind slavery. That's a disrespect. It's a disrespect when they walk with the flag on the football field spread out. One side of the flag see it as America. The other flag, other side of the people on the other side of the stadium see it upside down, and that's called tyranny. And the code of the flag is never supposed to be carried that way. That's the disrespect. The flag is always supposed to be held upright to where it goes straight up, and you see both sides of the flag as the banner waves. That's the respect of the flag. See, America is so prejudiced today, they don't even know their own disrespects. And that's what we have to show them that we know. And it is our flag. Because the red stripes in that flag, that's our blood too. We sacrifice blood. We say, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, land where the pilgrims fried, where my father died, being terrorized for the right to read, died picking cotton, died being disrespected and not given any land after the Emancipation Proclamation, and was set free to go nowhere with no property when they gave the Europeans more property in which they and gave us nothing. And the Europeans didn't fight for nothing over here. And that's what Donald Trump is. He's a European. He's Scottish. The only thing that he wants from America is profit. And right now he started a nationalist movement. And a lot of you don't know, 2 weeks ago in Poland, 64,000 white nationalists stood up to rise up, say that they're protecting the sovereignty of white people. Now, the first thing that I thought, well, they should send a notification for terrorists, because that is terrorism. That's white terrorism over in Poland now. That's 64,000. Instead of me looking at a Muslim country, I'm going to keep my eye on Poland and see what they're sending over here to come through our black communities and communities of color to terrorize us. Because that's what the white nationalist movement is. And we already have it here in the United States of America. I've been over to Cal Berkeley during the time of free speech, when they were bringing all the new those speakers in to a liberal campus. They were bringing right-wing conservatives to speak about us, and then having the audacity to march down on Martin Luther King Boulevard and Civic Center on the campus of Cal Berkeley. And you know what the coldest part is? It was only a speckle of us, but it was all the other people of color that was there to defend the rights of us in the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. And my question is today, when we gonna wake up and stand up for it? King did what he was supposed to do. He died for us. He died so that we can hold these rights. When we gonna die for him? We have to ask ourselves the question that today. We have the urgency of now. We had a pivotal moment in our history today. Are we going to let these things that they fought for perish, or are we going to stand up for them? And when it comes to Black Lives Matter, Black lives don't matter until we matter to one another. I just want to put that out there to everybody. All these Black shootings that are going on, killings and Black-on-Black crime, when we go out to protest them to stop all of that, then we'll begin to matter to one another. I can't go to no white folks and ask them why. Well, we matter. And I don't need them to prove to me that we matter. They got to come to the table. Oh, man, you got to show us that we matter. Bullshit. We have to show each other that we matter to each other. And put down the genocide of attitudes and the division, the strife, the hate. We done picked up the poison of supremacy. Put it down. That's why what you saw in Las Vegas, 58, 59 people killed and 500 injured by a white man that shot up white folks. But you know what them white folks is doing? They coming together and unifying. They coming together and unifying. But when we shoot each other, we don't come together and unify. We just, oh, that goes another nigger. Them niggas is just killing each other. No, we can't do that no more. We have to identify. And I'm saying all these things out of love and passion, because we getting ready to go into a new year, 2018. And my poor people's campaign is getting ready to move swiftly and strongly this time around. I got a multiracial democracy that's working with me. They have been working with me. But it's a multiracial democracy. I have the indigenous, I have the Latinos, I have some of our folks, I have some poor Anglo whites, I have some Pacific Islanders. We getting ready to blend the multiracial democracy movement for the conscience of moral values. That's what we're moving on, the conscience of moral values. And that's to give each other the rites of passage of the nonviolent resistance movement. We have to do it that way, because we see where all the guns and weapons are. You can't fight hate with hate. You need love. You got to do it. You can't fight darkness with darkness. You need some light. And that's what we're doing. We're going to shed some light on this and ease Donald Trump and this nationalist movement up out of this country. and out of our communities. This, we're surrounded by this chaos. And the only way that we're going to get out of it is together. We got to unify. Black leaders that are leaders out there, wake up and be leaders. Don't talk about it. Walk about it. Be about it. Be about it. You can talk all day, but until you take the steps, ain't nothing moving. Ain't nothing moving. Dr. King didn't stand still and talk. He walked and talked. And he walked and talked. And that's what we have to do. This is our turn now. This is our generation. This is our time. Like you said, you're not living until you found something that you have to die for. So if you found something that you're willing to die for, I'll tell you what, start with you. Are you willing to die for you and your survival to survive? For the rights and for the rites of passage. For your rights and for your rites of passage. Your security. All of these things. Because when it comes to the law enforcement and police and all that, we're only one word from being locked up. We're only one word from being shot. Too close. I just saw on the news here in Sacramento, California, where the brother last year was beat up for the police said he jaywalked. And the police brutalized him and beat him up. And we caught it on, we had it all on film. And we caught it all. And he pretty much came close to losing his job, the police officer. Now the black chief of police, we got a new chief that want to bring this officer back to the community to apologize for what he did and put him back out there to work. And where he going to apologize, none of those people are affected by the police. That man should be fired, and he should be sitting in the jail cell for what he did to that young brother. He made a mistake. And then that's how he paid for his mistake. So in other words, anytime a police officer make a mistake, he don't get the same thing we get. See, we make a mistake, we go into jail or we go into the graveyard or to the hospital because there's going to be a bullet involved. There's going to be something brutalizing involved when we make a mistake. Consequences. But when they make a mistake, there's nothing involved, y'all. There's nothing involved. An apology. An apology after he beat this man down in the street? Come on. If you're not an outrage, I don't know what's going to make you get outraged. Because if you get away with that small thing, what do you think the next thing is going to be? If he shoots somebody out there, one of our kids, mistakenly. So he just gets to apologize? And then come back to the job. Oh, yeah, the parents is going to receive some money. But the, what you have to understand is when these civil cases come across and they end up in federal court and you win the, and we win the case in the federal court, only thing that's transpiring is money. And who's paying for that is the taxpayer. It's not coming out of the police union, and it's not coming out of that police officer's pocket. And that police officer is not going to prison. He's not going to jail. He's not losing his job. Not only does his police bill of rights stronger than our bill of rights and civil rights, because his is double, because he gets our bill of rights and our civil rights plus his police bill of rights. That don't make sense, do it. Don't seem fair, do it. But that's what they already done trumped up in their unions. And the only way that we can change these policies is not on the civic level. We got to march through the legislation of that state capitol and make these changes. That's why it was so important when we started police reform in the beginning of last year, and that's still in effect. But people got to come out on October 22nd, which is National Police Brutality, Stop Police Brutality Day, all across the country, and stand up and come to the Capitol and walk and lobby inside of the building for change. But we can't get enough of our people to show up. If you show up, that makes them pay attention, because that's, you're the voter. That's where your vote counts. That's their fear, but we don't use that. But we're all, we ain't voting, it don't count. Yes, it do. I know it counts, because I'm experienced in going through the Capitol and legislating and fighting for stuff. But it's just not enough of us to show up and constantly be in these people's faces. They dictate everything that they do, from City Hall to the county administration to the state capitol, because we don't show up and fight for anything. We let them do what they do. We got to stop this abuse, because that's basically what it is, civic abuse from those that are supposed to be representing us. It's time we wake up. But back to the marijuana. I want to get back to the marijuana and just say, I know that's what the dialogue is, but I know Brother Wongun knows how I am. I'll kind of stretch things out and just kind of talk about some of everything. But back, this, you'll go back to the marijuana and just get back to that subject, because that's the next thing that's getting ready to happen on J1. And on when that day comes across, remember what I told you. There's a lot of repercussions to come with it when it comes to recreation marijuana. Brother Wongun, thank you for allowing me to speak on this platform tonight and bring my voice, you know, to the concern of what's getting ready to happen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Kev. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Kev? So when
yes, sir,
in January are we going to do the Poor People's Campaign, or is that just for a speech for Mr. Reverend Pinckney, or can you elaborate on that? Because I had somebody ask on that, and I'm going to have to keep them informed on that. So you're going to have to keep me informed on that, because you got some people that just called in and said, hey, I hear the brother, and he's right. We're not showing up out there to stand for our rights. We're not showing up at the polls. We're not showing up at all. So I want you to tell my folks who's listening what you got going on, when it's going on, and who got it going on.
Okay, now for the Poor People's Campaign, we used to do it in January, 2 or 3 years ago, but we moved it because we didn't want it to coincide with the 365 Martin Luther King Day that they do, because that march there is a co-op march. That's just a march that they do for one day, and mostly all the things that happen inside of that march is a lot of things Dr. King was against, you know what I'm saying, especially when it came to, you know, the corporations, you know what I'm saying, and that's what they have in the 365. So we were getting caught up in the confusion of all of that. So what we did was we moved ours back, and what we moved it to, the month of February. So the second week of February is what we're looking at right now. But just stay on the Facebook page, and we'll have something posted and put up, you know, in the new year, especially around January. We'll be putting stuff out just to let you know the Poor People's Campaign is getting ready to evolve. But there is something that you can come to on December 4th. So look at for next month of the Poor People's Campaign. It's going to be a national movement. And that starts with the Reverend William Barber, who is the president of the NAACP in North Carolina. He started the Moral Monday movements, but now he is doing the Poor People's Campaign moral movement. And on December 4th, all over the country, we're going to be doing being participating in that. Now, that's why I said pay attention to Facebook, because we're doing this with different organizations, and right now, most likely, I believe this may just be at the Capitol, but we're still waiting for that location. But I'm for sure on the date, which is December 4th. So stay on your Facebook, because that's where it'll be posted, and look for the Four People's Campaign, and you'll definitely. And when you see that date, it's December 4th, that we're having this event on that date, come out and get engaged, because all of the organizations that represent the Poor People's Campaign is going to be out there. And when I talk about poor people, I'm not talking about just poor people that are homeless and homeless students and just without. This is people that are living from paycheck to paycheck. These are just like what Dr. King sent back to Washington, D.C. in 1968. He sent 3,000 people back to Washington, D.C. to set up a tent city and stay there and protest and go to the Capitol, go to the hospitals, go everywhere and protest until they got to the legislators and met their demands. And what we're doing today is similar to the same thing that he did yesterday, but we need people to show up so that we can unify, so that we can organize and strategize, you know what I'm saying, and make these things happen. But if you don't show, we can't grow. And that's just what it is at the end of the day. If you don't show, we can't grow. And if we can't grow, they don't know. And that's what it is at the end of the day. If we ain't concerned, they're not concerned. So we need somebody to be concerned about us. And that's about people that are working from paycheck to paycheck. These are people out there that are paying rent, and your rent is going up, and there's no rent control. All of these things. This is a part of the Poor People's Campaign. It's not that, you know, it's not for one direction of poor. It's between the haves and the have not. So who's close to poverty? Who's living one paycheck at a time? You know what I'm saying? To survive and not making ends meet. That's what this is about. This is about so that we get to higher wages, so that we get to the things that hold of the needs and are necessary. Because Dr. King said, if the ends don't meet the means, then what are we doing here? So we got to be there so we can make the ends meet the means, right? So come and join me. Just remember, December 4th, that's when all of this starts. Just go on to Facebook and you'll see it posted. You'll see it posted. I just can't give the location right now because we haven't solidified the location yet, because we have some churches that are going to be involved in it here in Sacramento and how they want to do it this year. But one of the things that we're going to be structuring, because I'm in this group called the League of Revolutionaries, and this is not a violent group or anything. This is revolutionary thinking, new ideas. That's what Dr. King was doing when he talked about revolutionary values. These are revolutionary values that we are fighting for today. How do we survive in a tech world? We got technology. We got automation coming in. That's going to be replacing some of the jobs that some of you people are already out there working. And that's a fear within itself, because once they replace you, who do you go to? So you have to think about that. And that's the page that I'm on right now with the study group that I'm working with inside of the Poor People's Campaign. So come out and get engaged with me. It's not just we go out and protest. We get together and organize and strategize of how we're going to fight this fight. Because we're going to need people to come and petition and legislate, go inside of the Capitol. It's not just going out there and marching up and down the streets. You get tired of that. Marching is just the identity to bring the awareness. But now you got to hit the halls and the walls of where they're making the laws. That's what's important. Do you know that they have a law out now called aggressive panhandling, where the poor downtown or anywhere else can't ask for no money? If somebody come up and ask you for some money, if you tell the police that they're asking you for money, don't you know they can get cited for aggressive panhandling? For asking somebody for something because you don't have something. I'm talking about somebody that truly needs something. That's the law that they set up right now, you know, downtown. And actually, it's all over the city of Sacramento. I know a lot of you out there that's listening didn't know that. Did you know that they shut down all the bathrooms public bathrooms in the parks. Did you notice they cut off all the water in the parks where the homeless can't use? How are they supposed to survive? And then you wonder why there's feces all in these different places around the buildings downtown. Where else they gonna shit and urinate? Excuse my language, but I'm just speaking a fact. But these are the ordinances that they've come up with against the poor people, the homeless downtown or anywhere around. Now they got security guards driving around in communities, Land Park and all these other places, then hire security guards to keep the homeless out. And the people that are homeless that are coming to those communities, that's where they were displaced from. That's all they know, is to go back to where they came from to survive. Because they know somebody over there that's going to help them. They can't help it. This is no fault of their own. This is what the city has done with the developers on housing. And one of the people that was responsible for that was Mayor Kevin Johnson. I don't care how black he is, but that's not how his mindset was. Displacement. Profit over people. Kevin Johnson owns 30 houses in Oak Park. And all those houses that he bought in Oak Park, he has pretty much put the new people in there. Don't nobody that's originally from Oak Park live in none of his properties, because they can't afford to live in them. Because when he bought the properties, he cleaned them up a little bit, and then he either sold them or he upped the rent on them. And then all the commercial buildings that's in there. That's good to see a black man own all this stuff. But in owning things, it's how you come along and put people and not displace the culture of your community. The culture of your community cannot just be on the corner of your stuff. The culture comes from the people that thrive through the community. Now we have South Oak Park. When it's just Oak Park, where is South Oak Park? That's over by Fruit Ridge and Martin Luther King. You see what I'm saying? In those areas over there. And they want to specifically name it South Oak Park because they're telling the white folks, you don't want to move over to South Oak Park. That's where all the trouble is. You want to be over here in the Triangle District. That's where all the business areas. That's where the law school is. That's where the big park is, where we put up this big old sign that says 1856 when Oak Park was established. So they're trying to tell you something. 1856, black folks wasn't in Oak Park. White folks was in Oak Park. So that's what they're trying to tell you. That's what they're trying to get back. It's called displacement. They call it gentrification. But it's not gentrification, it's displacement. They're displacing your ass to put somebody else's ass in your place. And sooner or later, if we don't pay attention, they're going to take everything that has the history of our culture that came through there out of there, and we won't have no history. It'll be erased. That's why when the Black Lives Matter put the sign on the side of the Guild Theater, the graffiti on the side, it wasn't graffiti, but the art of showing Black Lives Matter, and they took it down. They said, no, we ain't having that in here. Not around all these white folks. They ain't paying attention. They don't give a shit about Black Lives Matter. I'm just telling you the truth. Because if they did and they was concerned, they would have never touched it. That's a work of art. That's culture. That's the struggle that comes through this community and other communities that identifies and bring awareness. They took it down. So I'm just letting you guys know. And I grew up here in Oak Park. But I got priced out, so I live over here on the other side of Oak Park now. I live in Elmhurst, behind the hospital, because that's the only place I could afford to live. And where I live, I've been living for almost 10 years, because I got priced out of Oak Park. I can't live in Oak Park. I got priced out of my own community where all my work is, where I grew up, my struggle. Now when I go back and go into coffee shops and these other places, they look at me like I'm an outsider, like I don't belong there. Now, who are you? Where you come from? See, that's displacement. That's not gentrification, just displacement, because that's how I feel. I feel displaced. On 35th and Broadway, I watched the struggle in 1968. The Black Panthers and the revolutionary struggle and fight through there in the Black Panther Party in the Nation of Islam. Those fighters coming through there, the revolutionary fight with the police in Oak Park. Sat there and watched and did my fireworks on the 4th of July on a park bench, watching a riot go on at the same time. It's something that's never left my head. I watched it. I witnessed it. I watched the Black Panthers turn off all the lights in the community and gunfire, and listening to gunfire all night with the police in that struggle. That struggle still lives with me today. Most folks say I fell in love with the struggle. And I did fall in love with the struggle because I will always be concerned about me and my people. But we have to be concerned about one another. It can't just be me or DJ Wongon or a few of us out there that's listening. It's got to be all of us. Ain't no leaders in this. It's organizers in this. Coming together, meeting of the minds, putting things together, how we gain power and ownership of things, control through the same democratic process that we say don't exist and which do exist. We just have to put the process together. That's why we say it ain't no process, because we ain't never did it. We have to do it first. You can't believe it unless you see it. But you have to do it in order to make it believable. And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do. Every day, you guys. That's why I do what I do. Every day. I wake up. I got a bad heart now, but I'm still waking up. I suffer from atrial fibrillation. I don't know where it came from, but I know it ain't going to stop me. I just took the orders from what my doctor asked me to do, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to stay alive, just like John Travolta. Staying alive until where I get to where I need to get to. Strive and stay alive and get where you need to get to. Your destiny. Your destiny. We all have a destiny in this. That's in God's plan. I know it is. I'm a true believer in that. And like Frederick Douglass said, without struggle, there is no progress. But the thing is there is no progress unless you understand your struggle. And that's knowing your history. And don't let it be a mystery. It is what it is. What your mind is thinking is exactly what it is. You don't need no more proof. It's already been proven. And now what you going to do about it? Come on out there and join me with the Poor People's Campaign. I love to have everybody to come out there and be a part of this, because that's what it's about. It's uniting the struggle. I got the indigenous out there. I got the Latino, I got the DACA students, I got the Angloids, I got the Pacific Islanders. I have people, like I said, that understands this struggle, that we all in here together, and we're the enemy when it comes to this white nationalist movement of America. And as long as Donald Trump and this type of system is in, they always going to exist. But how we defeat them is when we unite and come together, because that's their fear anyway. It's for us coming together as a body, the multiracial democracy. Not blacks just coming together. Not Latinos just coming together. Not indigenous just coming together. All people coming together and uniting a form and fighting against this power that wants to be. I don't give a damn what anybody say. That's my flag too. And the reason why I'm claiming that flag, because my daddy and my granddaddy went overseas to fight for it. So they have a right for it. And they fought for that right for me to recognize it too. I don't know no other country but this one. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, Cook County Hospital. January 23rd, 1960. I don't know no other country. And my family migrated out of Louisiana, Farmersville, Louisiana. I don't know no other country. I'm not African-American. I'm a black American. I come from black America. I'm from black America. That's what we are. We black people say it loud. We black and we proud. That's who we are. I ain't taking nothing away from those that want to feel the African tradition. That's fine. That's a beautiful thing. But right now, my culture exists as black America because that's where my struggles came from. Those that were terrorized, those that were hung, those were displaced, those that were abused, those that are in the same struggle today. It's black America. None of our stuff was done in Africa. All of our stuff was done over here to us here in America. We have to stop it here in America. And let me stop. Y'all going to have me preaching on this phone here.
We love it. We ain't heard from you in a while, and I wasn't playing no more music because the people of the world need to hear this message. Tonight, we're giving it to them. We're talking about marijuana and the legalization of it and how it will affect our youth. But as well as that, we have so many other issues in this life that we live in America that somebody has to speak out, and all of us need to start listening. Them is wise words from my big brother, Kevin Carter. I appreciate him. I'm just now picking up my students. I'm on my phone doing the show because I had to keep it going. We're leaving from the St. Paul's Family Living Center, and we had Ahmad Armstead and Eric Armstead here at the in Sacramento speaking to our youth about just what we're talking about. How can they apply themselves to be better human beings, better young men, better friends? And I appreciate all the brothers in the world that are working with our youth to demonstrate that there are real people out here that they're not called leaders, but they're leading. And that's a big thing. To be called a leader and not lead is a shame. But to lead and not be called a leader is heroic. I want to thank you, Kevin, Greg King, Dale Roberts, Steve Streeter, Keon Johnson. There's a whole bunch more, Barry Exes, Pastor Les. There's a whole bunch of people putting it in, getting it in for our youth. Matter of fact, I got some youth in here. They're going to say who they are, what school they go to, and what life means to them. I'm going to start off with Mr. Sean Whiteside.
My name is Sean Whiteside. I go to Eastwood College Prep, and life is everything to me. There's a difference from having a life and not living it. You can live and or you can not live it. Meaning, if you're not living it, then you're not having a thrill. You're not having a good life. You're not healthy. Now, if you're living it, you're having fun. You're having a nice life. You're having adventures. And, yeah, that's what life is to me.
What grade you in and how old are you?
I'm in 8th grade and I'm 13 years old.
Okay. We got another one now. Brother Carter, you know these two. These is Miss Person's children, Rebecca Person. The first one is Keith. Keith Person, go ahead and tell the people who you are and what school you go to and what life means to you.
I'm 11 years old. I go to Raymond Case, and life means very much to me. It's adventurous, and you go through some fun ways, and you go through some bad ways. But you always want to have some good ways.
That's
great.
Right.
Next is Tyson Person.
My name is Tyson Person. I'm 14, go to Johnstone Middle School. And life to me is like, you have ups and downs, you have good things. You got to learn how to like, figure your way through those ways.
Right on. So, Kev, you're talking And these young brothers are listening. And that's what we need. We need more men like you speaking to the young men of America to teach them, to learn them the right way. And they said in an old times fable, each one reach one to teach one. And if we don't
that's
do
right.
that right now, and the time of urgency is right now, then we're going to lose everything we ever fought for. We can march, like you said, but I don't see no marching getting anything done, but people having bad feet and bad backs. They're not getting anything done by marching. But unity is what I found in marching. Unity, unified, structured movement. And so
that's right.
With you speaking tonight, Kevin, my youth are listening right now, and they getting full off what you're talking about, brother, and I appreciate you, man. I love you. Amen, do I love you.
I love you too, brother. And for the youth, if they still are on the line listening, you know, my thing is to tell you is to stay positive. Don't get discouraged. Continue to be courageous in whatever you do. You know, if you fall on one thing, get back up because you can, and you can succeed at it. All you have to do is continue to take the same steps that you was taking, but just take it a little bit more and a little bit more positive, because that's what it's about in life. Don't let the negative come in. You stay with the positive, and you continue to believe, you know what I'm saying, in your dreams, and that you can make anything possible. Because through God, anything is possible. Anything is possible because he's the one that gives you the strength to do it. And just continue to be believers, love one another, and strive to be the best human being that you possibly can be. Because that's all that life is at the end of the day. It's being the best individual that you can be to the next person. Give your brothers and your sisters the rites of passage. And what I mean by that, don't stop and trying to hinder them on doing anything. And when it comes to the positive, if they have something they believe in, you support them. And that's what it's about, supporting one another. And the main thing is have the wisdom to know the difference in what you do and how you do it each and every day. Do not let nobody discourage you, because there's going to be some good people out there that you run into, and you're going to run into some bad ones. But when you run into the bad ones, that's when your test comes on how you show your character of who you are. Don't be a follower, be a leader. God bless you all. I love you all. And continue to keep the faith and keep keeping on. Stay on the good foot and keep moving. God bless you.
That's my brother, Kevin Carter. I'm driving right now, y'all. I can't get back to the music, so I'm going to have to talk a little bit about what we're doing in these lives of the youth. Right now, there are about 340 nonprofits here in Sacramento that I know of on the south side. Now, I don't know about the north, east, or west, but just on the south side. And each one of them are working with the youth, bringing awareness. I've never seen it done at a all-time high like this. I mean, we got people coming all out of different areas to come here in South Sacramento to save these boys' lives. We lost a brother last night, an older brother. Michael Anderson was shot down last night on San Carlos and 8th Avenue. Don't know what it was about. Don't know why or when, don't know what's going on. But I do know that the gun violence here in Sacramento is at an all-time high. We are losing kids. We're losing babies. We're losing ladies. We are losing a lot of lives. And I want y'all to know, man, the only way we can come up with a solution is if we sit down and talk to each other. We all can go in our own corner and complain about what's going on. We all can go out in our own corner and point at different things and different folks and blame this and blame that. But if we come together and have a real dialogue and bring the awareness of the violence that is attacking our kids, that are attacking us, period. We might win this war. But if we continue to hide our faces and not show up in the places, like Kev said, we need to show up, y'all. We need to show up at City Hall. Fight for our rights to live. They're taking everything. Gentrification is not just in Sacramento. You go down to Detroit, Michigan, where I just left. I left Michigan. And what I've seen in Michigan, oh, my goodness. The gentrification down there, it was a predominantly black city. That's the Motown, y'all. And you know right now that they have shipped so many refugees there. They have taken so many properties away, and they have stricken the black man with a riot, a belt, and everything else. They're chastising you for just doing you. We need to wake up. We can't keep smoking blunts and thinking that's going to take away the pain. We can't keep on hiding out and thinking that we're going to survive and make it through another day. We have to, my people, come together, speak on what's real, stand up for what's real, and show our kids what's real. It's the wise words you want to go say. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, man, I'm just full right now. I'm full because my brother, he has given me so much to stand on today, and I want to stand with him and say, let's get out and vote. Let's get out and do what we're supposed to do. Be a parent. If nothing else, start talking to your children. Start being in your child's life. I'm not saying that you have to hold your child and at every moment, but right now, in this urgent time, we need to do what needs to be done. It's a wild world you want to go on, so I'm trying to kill the show right quick because I am here dropping off some of my kids and really can't get to turn off the show. So I'm going to let y'all go. I hope that y'all understand that I'm doing what I can because I'm working with my youth, and this show is a wonderful show. This was a good topic. And, Kev, I love you once again. Thank you once again for coming on. My ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get to the point, and the point is, we're out of here. So I'm going to let my youth speak to y'all one more time, and hopefully they can speak for a minute while I run to the house and get this show on the road. First on here is Keith Person, and then his mom's going to speak about what's going on in our town, how we can help out. And, you know, Kevin, I love you, man, all right?
I love you too, brother. You guys have a good night. I got a couple of things I got to get to.
Okay. All right, Brother Carter. Talk to you later.
Okay, is this Sister Rebecca?
Hey, Brother Carter.
Door's
yeah.
Hey, sis. Hey, you have a happy Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right, that's to all of you. Hi. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. And that's to be thankful for everything that God has given you on this earth, and that you have taken advantage of to put in perspective to make your life better. Be grateful and be thankful for all of those things, and continue to give each other the rites of passage, and that's love. Good night.
Thanks, Brother Carter. Thank you very much. Christina, please.
Brother Carter. Brother Carter.
Actually, we're much further.
No, I need to turn. We got autographs.
Yeah,
we
share autographs.
Where's my charger?
That's both yours. Oh, he has the other one too?
What else? To you just brought it in? Oh, no, it's right here.
Yeah.
I need a gravy stuff. You want gravy stuff? What is mine?
Are you guys
running the show right now? I'm talking to him. Wait until Mr. Carter.
Okay, I made it. I don't know how long they've stayed on the phone, but I'm here, and we're about to go off the line. I want to thank y'all for listening in on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I had a lot going on tonight, but I had to get my youth out to this seminar, man, so they can really be blessed. We're out of here. We love you. Peace.